Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. In just a minute here, we'll be talking with Brian Brown of the National Organization for Marriage about the overturning this afternoon of California's same-sex marriage ban by a federal judge in San Francisco. Oddly enough, one of three openly gay federal judges in the country made this decision this afternoon. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for August is it's actually a real breakthrough here, not only in terms of scholarship, but in terms of kind of moving the ball ahead with Luther writings. Luther is famous for saying that he wrote far more than he probably should have. His theological descendants have disagreed with the good doctor on that point, and over many years have translated Luther into English, and especially that effort in the 19th century was very well received. The latest edition of Luther's Works in English from Concordia Publishing House, Luther's Works, Volume 69, deals with several chapters of John's Gospel, sermons preached and written by Dr. Martin Luther. It's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. Now, you can find out more about Luther's Works, Volume 69, at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Almost any page of the website has a link to Luther's Works, Volume 69, or Issues Etc., Book of the Month for August. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for an order, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Works, Volume 69. The story out of San Francisco this afternoon is that a federal court judge has decided, after hearing 13 days of testimony since the beginning of the year, to overturn California's same-sex marriage ban called Prop 8 there. Joining us to talk about it, regular guest, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founder of the Ruth Institute, and also author of several books, including Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Todd. It's kind of a madhouse around here today.
Did you expect this federal judge to rule the ban that was voted on by the California electorate as unconstitutional?
Well, I'm sorry to say that I did expect it. This is exactly what we expected, really. You know, and we've talked about it on the show many times. You know, poor Judge Walker had really signaled very strongly that he didn't understand or respect the arguments in favor of natural marriage. And so, therefore, we pretty much expected that he would overturn the ban and say some of the things that he is now saying. I'm just now actually printing out the decision so that I can have a good look at it. But the early indications are that he said pretty much what we expected, which is that, I don't understand that there are any arguments in favor of natural marriage. Therefore, everybody who agrees with natural marriage must be a bigot because there aren't any real reasons. And so since he doesn't understand that there are any reasons, there must not be any reasons. And so therefore, there's something wrong with you who voted for it. So it's really quite an unprecedented assault on the voters by the judiciary.
Now, I want to talk about what comes next in just a minute. But it seems that the presupposition on the part of those who were arguing for its unconstitutionality and eventually the district judge, U.S. District Judge Von Walker, in his decision, is that, well, of course same-sex couples have a right to marry. Someone else must bear the burden of proof to say that they don't. Seems to presume something that is not legally the case yet in most of the country.
Well, it presumes that the things that are presumed by this decision are really legion. And it's interesting how much I'm looking at this, he's referring to the kind of the media circus that he allowed to take place in his own courtroom as the basis for his decision. But the truth of the matter is that natural marriage has a particular essential public purpose. And the public purpose of marriage is to attach mothers and fathers to their children and to one another. And what they're doing in this decision is to completely ignore that purpose of marriage, sidestep it completely, and to come up with things that are essentially private purposes and which really aren't essential purposes at all anyway. I was just reading it. I don't have it in front of me right now, but he quotes the historian Nancy Cott saying that marriage is an institution where people share a household together, share resources with each other, and affirm their commitment to one another. Well, you know, that just doesn't do justice to what marriage actually does. There's nothing in that definition or understanding about the fact that marriage has something to do with the next generation and the way that a society keeps itself going and perpetuates itself. And so the gay lobby has really obliterated the essential public purpose of marriage and replaced it with a whole series of inessential private purposes of marriage. And so really, by the time they're finished, there'll be nothing left of marriage except a government registry of friendships. That's really what they're reducing marriage to. And so then you have to ask yourself, well, why in the world does anyone need a government registry for friendships? And, of course, the answer is you don't need that. But the whole purpose of marriage, which was to connect the generations to one another, nobody's even talking about that anymore. It's like considered passé to even think about that or talk about that. And that's what's really troubling about this ruling, is he's just thrown that completely under the bus.
Judge Walker's decision leaves this legally only one step away from the U.S. Supreme Court. What happens next?
Well, actually, what happens next is it goes to the Ninth Circuit Court, and then it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we do believe that it will make all of those steps, because whoever loses at any step is certain to appeal it, you know. So in the end, it's going to be at the doorstep of the Supreme Court and of the U.S. Supreme Court. And those nine judges will have the power to decide whether or not to overturn the marriage law of all of the different states in the United States where the voters have passed without any hesitation, constitutional amendments to define marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
Just to be clear, if the Supreme Court were either to, by not hearing the case, uphold an unconstitutional hearing, or ruling on the part of a lower court, or hear the case and agree that it's unconstitutional to ban same-sex marriage in California, would that nationalize same-sex marriage?
Absolutely, Todd. That's exactly the implication of this case. And what it means is that this case is the end of the line for everybody. So your listeners who are in heartland states or who are in Missouri or Illinois or places like that that believe they've decided this question by having constitutional amendments to their state constitutions, you are mistaken. If they find a federal constitutional right to same-sex marriage, all of those state-level regulations and constitutional amendments will be thrown out. And so that's why there really is a lot riding on the bus tour, if you want to put it that way, that what we're trying to say with the bus tour is that the people have not made up their minds about this. This is not a done deal. It's not a finished issue to say, kids have no need for a mother and father, biology has nothing to do with parenthood, and all of the other things that you have to believe in order to believe that same-sex marriage is the same as opposite-sex marriage. And so I would really encourage people to turn up to these rallies if you possibly can, and to make it known that we're not done with this question.
And what has this judge said to the California electorate with about 30 seconds?
Well, basically, this is a poke in the eye to the California electorate. He's basically saying that your vote, no matter what you thought it was, your vote was an expression of unconstitutional bigotry and animus. And so he basically took some of the arguments that were discussed in Prop 8 and decided that he didn't like those arguments, and so therefore they are unconstitutional, and therefore the over 7 million people who voted yes on Prop 8, they and their views do not count anymore as far as Judge Walker is concerned. And that's an absolutely unprecedented thing for a justice to say.
Jen, you mentioned the Summer for Marriage tour. It's coming tomorrow night to St. Louis. Why should our listeners turn out tomorrow at 6 at Memorial Park in Clayton for the Summer of Marriage tour? About 30 seconds.
Well, you need to show the Supreme Court justices of the United States that if they overturn Prop 8, that will be the equivalent of a new Roe v. Wade, that it will ignite a culture war, that it will be marginalizing millions of citizens across the country and telling them that they don't matter, that their views don't matter, that their religion doesn't matter, that their way of life doesn't matter. And I think that the composition of the court we have right now, it's very hopeful that those guys will look at this situation and say, you know, something, we don't want to be so far out of public ahead of public opinion that we create a mess. We need to let democracy play itself out in this and let the people continue to vote, continue to discuss, continue to argue. This is no time for the heavy hand of the judiciary to overturn the will of the people. And that's what you will be saying if you show up in Clayton, Missouri tomorrow night.
Folks, it's called the Summer of Marriage Tour tomorrow night from 6 to 7 at Memorial Park in Clayton. That's 78 South Merrimack Avenue in Clayton. It's at the northeast corner of Carondelet and Merrimack. For more information, just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California, author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Christian Zionism with Stephen Sizer. I never thought that this would happen. Golly, to consider the fact that we could right now, on August 4th, 2010, be, what, a year or less away from nationalized same-sex marriage? Many people thought, well, it will happen faster than we want it to, but that fast and perhaps that completely? And for any court, this court in San Francisco, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, or the U.S. Supreme Court, to say to the majority of Americans, what you think about this, how you vote about this doesn't matter? Who would have expected that? I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.